welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, bringing you an hour of horror. Later on, we'll hear the John Dixon Carr series, Appointment with Fear, a relatively rare broadcast. But right now, the story, The House Where Death Lived, on Murder at Midnight. The syndicated episode first aired on July 26th, 1946.
Not just an ordinary cane, my dear.
Alec.
It's a sword cane, see? Calhoun used it when he killed his wife, right where you're standing.
Alec, you killed Sanders.
Exactly.
And now you're going to kill me.
Yes.
No. Keep away from me.
I'm sorry.
Keep away.
My dear. Ah!
Midnight. The witching hour when the night is darkest, our fears the strongest, and our strength at its lowest ebb. Midnight, when the graves gape open and death strikes. How? You'll learn the answer in just a minute in The House Where Death Lived. And now, Murder at Midnight. Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre. Our story is A Ghostly Nightmare by one of radio's best-known mystery writers, Robert Newman. Its title, The House Where Death Lived.
Large rambling house on top of a hill. A house whose windows are either shuttered or broken. A rusty iron fence surrounds it, and its grounds are waste and uncared for. A car grinds slowly up the hill, stops before the main gate, and two men get out. One of them is gray-haired but vigorous. The other wears a chauffeur's uniform. They push open the heavy gate. Start up the gravel path.
Quite a joint.
You could hardly expect it to be a show place after being empty for more than 10 years.
It's open.
Yes. Well, I'm glad we didn't have to force it. All right, Sanders. You can go back to the car and wait for me. I should be out in about a half an hour or so.
You mean you're going in alone?
Why, yes. Somehow, I don't think you're exactly suited by temperament for psychic research.
Okay, Doc, I'll be waiting for you back in the car.
Right. Now, let's see. I suppose the best place to start would be...
Good evening.
What? Oh, I'm awfully sorry. I hope I haven't made a mistake. This is the Calhoun house, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
This is very embarrassing. I was down to see the trustees just this morning. They gave me permission to go through the place and told me that there was no one living here, that no one had lived here for many years.
Well, as you can see, that's not quite true. Not that it matters. I lead a rather lonely life, and I'm very glad you came. I'd be more than happy to show you around.
Well, you're very kind. My name is Goff, Dr. Alexander Goff.
Dr. Goff.
For the past few years, I've been specializing in psychic research.
Oh, yes.
You've heard of me?
I'm sorry, no. But I do know that scientists, specialists in psychical research, have been interested in the house for many years. There have been several books written about it.
I read about it in the series of studies that Kinsey did. He said it was one of the most fertile fields for manifestations he'd ever come across. It has a long history of apparitions and hauntings.
That's very true. And now, would you like to look around?
I'd like that very much.
Very well. I imagine the best place to begin is with the cellar, this way.
The cellar? That's where Mrs. Calhoun was killed, wasn't it?
Yes. Huh? I keep the door locked now for that and for several other reasons.
May I?
Wait, don't try to go down. Have you a match?
Why, yes.
There.
There aren't any stairs.
Exactly. That's how Mrs. Calhoun was killed. The stairs had become rotten and Calhoun took them out, put in that ladder. Mrs. Calhoun didn't know it. She tried to go down, fell, and broke her neck.
But she wasn't just killed. She was murdered, wasn't she?
Well, that's hard to say. I don't think even Calhoun could tell you whether it was deliberate or not. For a long time, people didn't even suspect what had happened. They thought that she'd run away and disappeared. However, after she was killed, Calhoun buried her down there in the cellar. You see, over there, near that big flagstone.
Oh, I see. Well, after that, there was something about a gardener, wasn't there?
Yes, Burroughs. Yeah. He had helped Calhoun take out the stairs. Considerably later, he was working in the cellar and found some bones, and he put two and two together
and went to the police.
No, he did a lot better than that, from his own point of view. Shall we go back into the parlor?
Well, yes, of course.
I'll just shut this door again. Yeah. Burroughs began blackmailing Calhoun. Calhoun paid for a while, and then one day he called Burroughs in here, into the parlor. He was sitting over there at that desk. He had his cane with him. The cane that's on the desk there now. You can look at it if you like.
Well, thank you. I would like to look at it.
Twist the handle and pull on it.
A sword cane?
Yes. He killed Burroughs right here in this room. That stain on the carpet, there is his blood. This time he didn't even try to get away with it. He called in the police and he was tried and sent to an institution.
Yes, but that's what I don't understand. If Calhoun had committed two murders, why wasn't he sent to jail or hanged?
Because no one knew whether he was sane or not. As a matter of fact, I don't think Calhoun knew himself. You see, when they asked him why he had killed his wife and Burroughs, he said he had to, that he'd been told to.
Told to? By whom?
Well, he wasn't sure. By voices. He said they told him that they lived here in this house before him, that they had killed, and that he would have to kill too.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Just what I've been looking for, what I've hoped for.
Ah.
A house with a tradition of hauntings, where each generation is affected by that tradition and adds to it. What's the matter?
They've come for me. They're weighing me down, dragging me back.
They? Who? You're ill. Here, let me help you.
No, it's no use. You can't pick me up. It's too much on my hands. On my head.
Where is he?
He was there, right there on the floor. I tried to pick him up and put him on the couch, but I couldn't lift him. Now he's gone.
Well, now look, Doc, if he fell down, if he was as weak as you said it... Hey, wait a minute. Hey, what did he look like?
Well, he was quite old, about 70, and very tall and thin. He had white hair and a white goatee.
Holy smokes.
What's the matter?
Well, I was waiting outside for you. The guy that lives just down the hill came by and we kind of talked a little.
Yes?
I told him you were inside here and you described Calhoun to me, the guy that used to live here. And the old gent you say you spoke to sounds just like him.
But it couldn't have been. Calhoun is still in an institution.
No, he's not. At least not exactly. That's how this guy happened to talk about it. You see, he just read in the paper that Calhoun had died yesterday.
Sanders?
Yeah?
That was Calhoun's ghost.
Oh, now, look,
Doc. It was, I tell you. It has to be. This is what I've been looking for years. An apparition that manifests itself without a medium or any apparatus. It's exactly what I need for the last chapter of my book. And I'm going to stay here until he appears again. Calhoun! Calhoun! Where are you? Why don't you come back? I'm waiting for you. Oh, it's no use. 2 days now and not a sign of him. Maybe Sanders was right. Maybe I did imagine the whole thing. Either that...
Wait a minute. He didn't die here.
He died at the asylum. He'd lived here all his life, committed two murders here. Perhaps the aura, the forces here, were strong enough to evoke him once, but not to bring him back again. His wife and the gardener, they did die here. If I could establish contact, I might be able to evoke them. Or else if someone else died here, someone I knew and someone that knew me. Calhoun! Is that right? Is that what I have to do? What? Who's there?
Me, Doc. Sanders.
Oh. Just a second.
Oh, what a night. It's blowing like all get out.
What do you want, Sanders?
Well, the missus thought you should get a little worried about you. She thought you might be running low on food.
Oh, no. I still have plenty. I haven't been eating much.
Any luck?
No, he hasn't materialized again, but I'm sure he will. I know he will.
If someone else died here, someone you knew, and someone that knew you.
Yes.
What's the matter, Doc? And why are you staring at me that way? Doc!
I'm sorry, Sanders. Sanders, I was just thinking that if you stayed here with me, it might help.
But I thought you said I was all wrong for this kind of stuff. You know I don't believe in ghosts, anything like that.
Well, I did say that, Sanders, but... Oh, this place is different. This is such a powerful, fertile field for psychic manifestations that I think if you did stay, we could cure your skepticism permanently.
Yeah? How?
Well, this is such a perfect night for an evocation.
I don't hear anything. Just the storm.
Listen hard. There it is again. It's down in the cellar.
Where's that?
It's back there.
Where?
Go ahead, run. You're quicker than I am, Sanders. Run, hurry.
Okay, but I still don't hear anything.
A man with an obsession in a haunted house. A man with a corpse on his hands as the clock strikes 12 for...
Murder at midnight.
Sanders? Sanders? I think I better make sure. Sure. This ladder holds. Now, let's see. He's dead, all right. Very dead. Neck broken in two places. I'm sorry, Sanders. Very sorry. But science is a hard mistress. I've been working on my book for 7 years. This is the first chance I've had to make detailed and objective observations on a specific set of phenomena. Even Calhoun didn't materialize again. I'm sure you understand. The only problem now is the police. They're apt to be very uncompromising about something like this. If there were only some way that I could... I know. The car. It's quite late and the storm blowing. There's not likely to be anyone around. Yeah. Oh, come on, Sanders. You and I are going to take... trip. Now, we're almost there, Sanders. Just a little farther. Now, here we are. Now, let's see. Well, you turned the car around before you came in, so it's headed downhill. That's splendid. Very considerate. Open the door and put you in. Up. Just make sure you don't fall sideways. But you stay behind the wheel. That's it. Oh, Is there anything else? Anything I've forgotten? I don't think so. Yeah. Let's take the break off. And shut the door. And wait. There's no telling how far she'll go. Especially with the streets so bumpy. I only hope that she'll go far enough to pick up plenty of speed. So that when she does... She's swinging. Swinging to the right.
Yeah.
And now I wait.
Sanders! Where are you? It's been 4 or 5 days now. Why haven't you come back? Haven't you wanted to? Or haven't you been able to find a way? This is where you died, remember? Or down here in the cellar. Are you down there? Sanders? Are you down there? No. Not down there. Not anywhere. What's that? Yes? Who's that? Who's there?
It's me, Jean.
What do you want, Jean?
I want to talk. Let me in, dear, please.
Just a second.
Alec. Oh, I'm so glad to see you, dear.
I asked you, what do you want? Why did you come here?
Why? It's been almost a week now since you've been home. Have you any idea how worried I've been? You didn't even phone me after Sanders was killed.
I'm sorry. I just never thought of phoning you. I had other things on my mind.
How did it happen, Alec?
You read the verdict of the inquest. He probably fell asleep at the wheel waiting for me. The brakes slipped, the car rolled down the hill, and... crash.
Poor Sanders. Somehow I can't help feeling...
Feeling what?
I don't know. Perhaps it's this horrible old house. Everything about it is just plain evil. Oh, Alec, why don't you give it all up?
Give what up?
This obsession of yours. You started writing your book, doing psychical research to prove that there were no such things as apparitions or ghosts.
Suppose I found out that I was wrong.
What?
Yes, what would you say if I told you that I'd already seen one apparition here and that I was expecting to see another one?
Alec, oh no.
Oh, yes, Jean. The first evening I came here, I saw Calhoun. I talked to him. He showed me around the house. And later on, I discovered that he had died the day before. I waited for him to come back again, but he never did. And I finally realized why. He couldn't come back because he hadn't died here. He had died at the sanitarium. But now... I'm waiting for Sanders to come back.
Sanders? But he didn't die here either. He died?
Yes, Jean.
I don't like it here, Alec. I'm afraid. I'm going.
No, Jean. Don't go. You can help me.
Huh?
Come on in here. Into the parlor.
But Alec...
Come on, Jean. Later I'll... tell you a very interesting story about this room, about something that happened here a long time ago.
But I... All right, Alec.
That's a good girl. You know, Jean, I've just realized I've been very stupid. Calhoun couldn't come back again because he didn't die here. Sanders did die here, but he wasn't buried here. And now I'm beginning to think that a spirit can only materialize in the place where its body is.
But what's that got to do with me?
Dear, does anyone know that you came here tonight?
Why, no, but...
Good.
What do you mean? And what are you doing with that cane?
You remember I said I was going to tell you a story about something that had happened here in this room? Well, this cane played an important part in it. You see, it's not just an ordinary cane. This is a sword cane. It's what Calhoun used when he killed his wife, right where you're standing.
Alec, you killed Sanders.
Exactly.
And now you're going to kill me.
Yes, dear. I am going to kill you. And I'm going to bury you right here, down in the cellar where Calhoun buried his wife. Then at least you will be able to come back. No, don't. Don't try and run away. It won't do any good. You see, I locked the door.
No. Keep away from me.
I'm sorry.
Keep away.
My
help!
Dear.
Help!
Now, smooth up. Gravel a little. She's coming well. There. That ought to do it.
Very nice, Doctor. Very nice indeed. You didn't do quite as neat a job as I did, but you did pretty...
Calhoun.
Yes, Doctor.
You're dead. But you did come back.
Yes, I came back to tell you how grateful I am to you.
Grateful? For what?
For having, shall we say, relieved me. You see, there's a curse on this house. When I was alive and lived here, even before I killed my wife and Burroughs, I saw the ghosts of those who had died before I was born. It was they who made me kill, because once I did kill, they were free.
I don't understand.
Don't you? As long as this house stands, someone must haunt it. Until I died, it was haunted by those whom I had killed. When I died, it became my job. I thought it would be years before I could find someone to take my place, and then you came along.
You mean...
Yes, Doctor, yes, the curse, the evil that was spawned here has been passed on to you. Now it's haunted by those whom you killed, and I am free and can rest in peace. But you must stay here and live with the evil you created until you die.
No, I won't stay.
Yes, you will, Doctor. Oh, I didn't believe it either. I thought I could leave whenever I wanted to. But I found that I couldn't. I had to stay until they took me away. When you try to leave, you'll find out why.
But I won't stay. I tell you, I won't. Neither you nor they can make me stay. Nothing can make me stay.
No.
What's more, you're right about this place. It is evil. But I'm not going to let that evil continue. It must be destroyed, along with every stick and stone in this house.
And just how do you propose to do that?
I'll show you. With fire. This can of kerosene.
Oh,
that
no.
Pile of lumber there.
It won't do any good. Take my word for it.
No, you watch. There. The whole cellar, the whole house will go now.
Yes, Doctor, but you won't go.
I won't. You watch me.
But you can't go without me, Doc.
What?
Don't you remember? You carried me out to the car. You've got to take me with you.
Sanders.
Yes, Doctor, your chauffeur.
Let go of me, Sanders. Let go. I can't take you with me.
And you've got to take me too, Allie.
No, Jane, no. Let go. Both of you,
you
let
see,
go.
Now you know why I couldn't go either.
But
dragged me back and weighed me down.
Please.
Now you know why you're going to have to stay here.
I won't stay. I tell you, I won't. Not even if I have to take both Sanders and Jean with me.
I'm afraid that won't do any good, Doctor. You see, the ladder isn't very strong.
It broke. It broke. I'm trapped here.
Goodbye, Doctor. If you don't mind, I'll leave you now for good.
No!
Flames roar higher and higher as Dr. Goff screams and staggers backward.
Far away, a bell starts tolling for...
Murder at midnight.
Remember. remember to be with us again when death stretches out his bony hand and the clocks strike 12 for
Murder at Midnight.
The part of Dr. Goff was played by Barry Kroger. With music by Charles Paul, Murder at Midnight was directed by Anton M. Leder.
Murder at Midnight, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 26th, 1946, a syndicated recording. It's an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now we turn to a lesser-known series, at least in the States, popularly known as the British version of Suspense, It's Appointment with Fear, penned by, at times, suspense author John Dixon Carr, who also had the American scary series Cabin B-13. This next episode first aired on November 20th, 1945, called And the Deep Shuddered.
Appointment with Fear.
This is your storyteller, the man in black, here again to bring you another fireside tale. I have told you many stories to chill the spine since first we met, but there is one particular subject I have rather neglected. Insanity. I could unfold many charming tales of the mentally unstable, but I've chosen one tonight that will appeal to the more subtle listener. So, while I tell you of Gerald and Adela Madelon and the provocative Pauline, we trust we shall keep our promise to bring you An Appointment with Fear. Come now to a gloomy, pretentious building somewhere in Gloucestershire. Victorian Gothic at its worst. Once the home of a wealthy manufacturer. Now an institution. An asylum for the insane. The medical officer is showing a visitor around.
No. I'm afraid these mental institutes are not very exhilarating.
No, Doctor. I think they're ghastly.
Oh, no, no. Come, my dear lady.
I do. I don't mind the real loonies, like that little man over there, or even the dangerous one. It's the simple, quiet, sweet-looking people that seem so awfully sad.
Yes, I know.
But that white-haired lady over there, for instance.
That one?
Yes.
Well, over 30 years she's been here.
30 years?
Now, you've hit a very pathetic case.
Really?
She lost her husband in the Lusitanic. Oh. You'll remember that dreadful affair.
Mm.
One of those odd cases where a shock can be too much for the mental balance.
How appalling. Is she...
She's a Mrs. Madeline. At first, they thought she might recover, I believe.
It's hopeless, then.
Oh, quite.
But she looks so sane.
Mm. She thinks she's still on the Lusitanic.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. We're all fellow passengers.
Don't mean it.
Oh, yes.
She thinks her husband's still alive?
She's never mentioned his name.
Really?
You see that gramophone?
Yes.
She's always got it with her. It plays some tune she must have heard on the boat.
Oh, no.
They tell me that when she first came here, she was always asking for the ship's band to play it. So they got a record. When she weeps a lot, we put it on. And then she laughs.
Makes her happy.
Well, no. It's a queer sort of laugh.
But why, I wonder?
You must never ask why when you're dealing with the insane. That is why they're insane. Would you like to speak to her?
Yes.
Well, come along, then. She's quite charming.
Who do you think you are?
I vary. Sometimes I'm a passenger, and sometimes a ship's officer. Ah, Mrs. Madeline. Well, how are we today?
I'm a little cold. It gets colder, you know, near the banks of Newfoundland. Does it, indeed? Is this your first voyage?
It is, isn't it?
Yes. Are you staying in New York?
Yes.
Oh, so am I. I'm going to try the new plaza. They say it's wonderful. Then I'm going on to Baltimore. I like to think of where one's going to, don't you? Never mind the past or the present. Get them out of your mind, don't you think?
Yes, perhaps.
One shouldn't think, you know. You can make yourself not think.
Ah, the ship's band is going to get to work.
Thank God, thank God, thank God.
Well, there we are.
They play that tune for me. Isn't it good of them? Don't you think it's rather attractive?
Yes, I do.
Rather consoling, don't you think? And yet, rather cynical, so to speak, or shall we say, sardonic.
I'm afraid I must intrude upon this poor lady's strange delusion. You heard that mental expert tell his visitor that no one dreams of asking why in his domain. Shall we ask why on this occasion? So be it then, we will. So come with me along the years. The Mid-Atlantic, a mighty vessel, 2,000 souls aboard. A still, calm night. And then, disaster. Laughter and life and wealth and glittering glory, and then, nothing. Nothing. I would recall those words of Dante Gabriel Rossetti, if we might pause a moment. The ship was gone. The crew was gone. And the deep shuddered, and the moon shone.
What are you doing out here?
Getting a breath of air?
Look, my dear girl, it's freezing.
I don't mind.
Oh, don't you? Well, I do. I've got to get a drink.
Gerald.
Yes?
We'll sit under the bridge. It's quite sheltered.
What do you mean?
Well, there's steam heat on here.
Well, what's all this about?
Gerald, Pauline is on this ship.
What?
Well...
Who told you?
Does that matter?
Well, what if she is?
I see.
Oh, well, now the fun starts.
We're due in on Monday. I'll get a boat back on the Wednesday.
Adela, heavens above, you can't do that.
This time I've had enough.
We've had all this before.
Don't shout, please. I see you booked her in the second class so that we should meet, I suppose.
Oh, child.
Just one moment. I finished with you after your last bout. I come with you this trip for the sake of your mother and father. That was all. And now at this moment, I wouldn't speak to you if it wasn't for this wretched little fool you've dragged out.
I love her.
Cut that out.
And she loves me. I'll admit it. I fooled you, all right.
My dear man, I expect to be fooled. You fooled me from the very day we met.
If you're going to drag out the past...
I'm not. Listen. That last bout of yours, what the doctors called nervous breakdown...
All right, D.T., go on.
Well, it shook you. You said you'd pull yourself together. I was sorry for you. You did pull yourself together. And I did truly believe we were going to make a fresh start. So this trip was arranged. And now you've carted out this woman to keep on tap because you can't help cheating. Because you're vile. Utterly and completely vile.
I see.
We're not going to make a song and dance about it or anything of that sort. I'll go to some hotel by myself and book the passage home. That's all, Gerald. Goodbye.
Right, Helen. I'm very glad to hear you've got enough cash.
Oh, madam, the purser's just gone into his office.
Oh, well, thank you.
Here, you, I want a double whiskey and soda.
Yes, sir.
Where is the purser's office?
Will you follow me, madam?
I'll have that drink in the smoking room.
Very well, sir. concert, madam?
No, I may go in later.
Pretty cold, madam.
Yes. Yet the sea's so calm, it looks like oil.
That means there's ice about. They're off the banks.
In here?
The door on the left, madam.
Oh, thank you. Good evening.
Oh, Mrs. Madeline. The chief steward says it's quite all right.
Oh.
This young man will conduct you.
I'm very much obliged.
This way, madam.
Thank you.
Hello, Madeline. How about a little poker?
No, I don't want any blasted cards.
Well, look here. All the girls want to dance tonight. It's as smooth as a skating rink.
Righto, and let's be festive.
Come on, Madeline. Where's your missus?
Oh, go to blazes.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, I say. Lord Alcaster's getting up an auction for the sailor's home. You know, autographs and things.
Oh, blast the sailor's home.
Oh, what's the matter with him?
Don't say he's started again.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I blush to mention it. The next valuable souvenir I am about to auction is a garter worn by a famous actress of the motion picture.
Change over, watch.
Aye, aye.
Evening, sir.
Evening. We're running into ice.
Yes, sir. I think we are. It's pretty clear, sir.
I know, but double the lookout.
Double the lookout.
Aye, aye, sir.
Double the lookout.
Let's walk up and down a bit.
Oh, gee, it's cold.
Look at the sea. It's like oil.
Well, now, talking of oil, if Pierpont Morgans are going to take that issue up, I'll be prepared to name a price on your holdings.
Without the current dividend?
Uh-oh, no, with it.
Not on your life.
If you share the bonus?
Oh, well, now you're talking.
You're a smart fellow, Walter.
Let's get inside. It's too darn cold.
Sure.
A couple of hundred thousand is not worth double pneumonia.
Right ho, bright boy. Let's go. Come on.
Good evening, Pauline.
You?
Yes. They gave me a permit to visit your lowly quarters. Very nice, too. Less garish and more comfortable than our magnificence.
Adela, how did you find out?
Don't get excited, Pauline, or look at me like that.
What are you going to do?
Going back home at once. By the first ship I can get hold of.
No, no.
Yes, Pauline. And if you'll take my advice, you'll do the same.
So that's your game.
Go easy, Pauline.
Very well, then. I love Jerry. I can't help it. I've done my best, and he loves me. We just can't help it.
Yes, I know.
I must say it, I must. He does think the world of you, it says so, and all you've done for him, but this is something that has come into his life.
If only he'd think of something new.
I knew you'd think that. Very well, then go back home. Go back, I'm glad, I want you to.
And I'll be glad, so we'll both be glad, so let's be perfectly calm about it.
I am calm.
Pauline, will you just listen for a moment?
Well?
There are certain men whose culminating ecstasy is only achieved in breaking a woman's heart. You ask them, they couldn't tell you why. And what that appeal is to women, God only knows, but it's there. Jerry, my husband, is a useless waster. He has no charm, no wit, no guts. He's lost whatever looks he had, and he hasn't a friend in the world. I loved him all right, believe me. And now, I don't even hate him. I only know him as an evil thing that would be better dead.
Go on, Angela.
I know you, Pauline. And your sister, and your two nice brothers, and that decent boy who loves you very dearly. When I implore you to come back with me, I'm thinking of you, your life, everything. For God's sake, believe me.
I don't believe you. You want him still.
Oh, don't.
Will you please go away? I don't want to see you. I never want to see you again.
All right, Pauline.
I shall tell Jerry.
Do whatever you like. Goodbye.
We're doing splendidly so far. My next souvenir is a bit of a surprise. A brace of pheasants. The gift of Lord Henry Jiffer. He was taking them to Senator Osdom at Washington. But now he's changed his mind.
$10.
$40.
$60.
$65.
$70.
$75.
$80.
$95.
I love this foxtrot.
I love anything with you.
So perfectly steady, my bit of Carlton.
I don't care where it is with you.
Now, be good.
Are you taking Ella?
Yes, sir.
I'll stay up a bit, I think.
Not too good, is it?
No, we ought to stack him down a bit.
You're still staying out here, madam? It's terribly cold.
Oh, I'm well wrapped up, Sturgis.
So I see, madam. The band conductor wants to know if there's anything you'd like him to play.
Oh, how nice of him. Do you think he'd play Yarmer Man once more?
Yarmer Man. I'll ask him.
Early tonight, sir.
No. What's it got to do with you?
Anything you'd like, sir?
Yes. Where's the whiskey?
Here you are, sir. And the siphon, sir.
Good. Put one of those white tablets in a glass of water.
These, sir?
That's it. They've got to dissolve.
I see, sir.
Put in two.
Two, sir?
That's what I said.
Has madam gone to her stateroom, sir?
I don't care whether madam's got to a stateroom or have the smokestack.
I see, sir. Good night, sir.
And I don't want to be disturbed, see? And what's more, I'm not going to be disturbed.
Very well, sir.
Is that the tune you wanted, madam?
Yes, that's it. They played delightfully. What's all that?
Something up. It's the lookout. Now, any further bid for this lovely colored photograph of Gary DeLee?
$60.
$70.
$75.
$80.
I raise you another 20.
I'll raise you another 10.
He's got four aces.
And 20 more.
We're back amidships. Full speed astern. Take collision duty. Mr. Page, the passengers. All quartermasters to their stations. My God, man. If it's ripped the bulkheads.
Don't get excited, please. We're making the examination.
Get out on the
the deck!
The whole ship shook! Bumped into a ruddy iceberg!
What the hell was it?
Keep quiet, please. We're making the examination.
Are you all right, madam?
Yes. What's it all about?
Ice, I think. They're stopping her.
But the whole ship shook.
My word, it did.
Wonder why they've stopped.
Well, they would. They'd have to.
I don't think it's anything much, you know.
She'd have shown her list by now.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's pick up the counters and start again.
Do you know, I had a flush.
Go on.
Yes, I had. What about a jackpot?
What about another drink?
No drink, sir.
Well, why not?
What darn nonsense.
Well, are we going to stick here all night, I wonder?
Perhaps something's gone wrong with the work.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Madden. A little excitement, wasn't it?
Certainly was. Oh, good. The band's begun again.
Oh, that's a good sign.
You hear what they're playing, Sturgis?
Yes, madam.
What are you looking at?
A deck.
What about it?
Look.
Yes. Or is it fancy?
No, it's not fancy.
No, it isn't. Is it?
Rocket!
That's done it.
A rocket!
For the love of God!
Everyone on the base! Yeah! All passengers on the base! Yeah!
Gerald! Wake up! Gerald!
Everyone on the main deck!
I felt complete!
Everyone on the main deck!
Gerald!
What the blazes?
Everyone's wanted on the deck.
Oh, let them blasted well go there.
I've told you.
Get out of it, you hear? Get out, you.
Oh. All the cabins cleared?
Yes, sir.
Quick as you can, lady. Put your life belt.
Yes, thank you.
Nobody else there?
No. No one.
Get down to D deck.
Oh, miss, there you are.
Yes.
Come along with me. They're shipping the wind.
What about you?
Oh, we'll go later. Don't you worry about us. Here you are, sir. Another woman.
That old lady first, please.
Room for the pair of you. Now stand back, please.
Let me get...
All in good time.
Hard at it, boys. One and two... One and two. Steady there.
Listen. The band's still playing.
You hear what they are playing?
Look. She's going down.
Oh, my God.
The ship was gone. The crew was gone. And the deep shuddered. And the moon shone. We will not linger on the dreadful scene. It is the next morning. Yet one more boatload of the few survivors are being gently conveyed to the deck of the rescue vessel.
Come here. Please, madam, I'm a doctor.
Oh.
That's a bad cut.
No, it's nothing. But please attend to these others. Oh. Adela. Pauline. Where is he? I don't know.
What?
Why should I?
But I got to his cabin. I dragged him on deck. It was the last boat. They were shoving us in. He wouldn't go. He wouldn't go. He went back to look for you.
He went there to look for me.
Yes. Yes.
He went back to look for me.
Now, I think I'd better be going.
Yes, I think you ought to hop along.
Goodbye, Mrs. Madeline. I envy you your first sight of the skyline of New York. It's quite wonderful. It really is.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
I'll see you to the gate.
Oh, poor lady. It seems so sad.
Very. But at any rate, we know her history. Sometimes we do not.
Oh, yes, that was the very distressing. Well, thank you so much, Doctor. Oh, here's my car. It's been awfully good of you to show me round.
Believe me, it's been a pleasure.
And that is the end of the story and the deep shuddered.
Appointment with Fear on Tuned to Yesterday from November 20th, 1945. And that ends this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.